from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Were those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. And he told them this parable. There was once a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" The gardener said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, then you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. We are now 83 days into the extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy, which is one of the greatest opportunities in the history of the Church for conversion. I can guarantee you every single person in purgatory would have wished to have been alive this year, and certainly those who now see the reality of what hell is like would have longed in envy to have what we have. It's the greatest opportunity that the Church has given for conversion, for acting on the words that Jesus gave us through a minister at the beginning of Lent, when we were wiped with a symbol that we will one day die and we're told, repent and believe in the gospel. It's a time in which we hear St. Paul's appeal as an ambassador of Christ, reminding us that now, not tomorrow, not 10 years from now, not 50 years from now. Now is the day of salvation and calling us to be reconciled with God. It's a chance for us to heed Pope Francis's reminder, said 4 days into his papacy and repeated many times thereafter, that God never tires of forgiving us. It's we who tire of asking for that forgiveness and begging us never to cease asking for what God never tires to give. This year is a 349-day period in which, together with the whole Church, we remember the words of today's psalm, that the Lord is kind and merciful, that He pardons all our iniquities, heals all our ills, redeems our life, not just from peccadillos or trifles, but from destruction. He crowns us with kindness and compassion. It's a chance for us to ponder how merciful and gracious He is, how slow to anger and overflowing in kindness, and come before Him to allow Him to fill us with that merciful love. Press the reset button on our life. Bring our souls back to their baptismal splendor, and make all of heaven rejoice that we who were wayward and lost have been found, and that we would experience death by choosing it through serious sin, have experienced resurrection through reconciliation with Him. That's what this year is about. But we can ask, what difference this special holy year, overflowing in God's mercy and kindness, has made in our life? We know that there are many who have responded to God's invitation to recognize their need for God's mercy, and have come to receive it in the sacrament Jesus, the Lamb of God, established to take away the sins of the world. Others, having been filled with the merciful love of God, have allowed that mercy to overflow from them, recognizing in this holy year a summons for us to love others more, to treat others with the mercy with which God treats us, and who have been making extra efforts, for example, to carry out the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. But we know that there are also others who are frankly no spiritually different than they were last December 7th, for which this special grace of God is just same old, same old. That's one of the reasons why today's readings are so important. Because they're meant to shock us out of complacency. They're supposed to be like those defibrillator paddles, jumping us back to spiritual life, to help get us to examine before God whether we've been responding to the graces He wants to give us this year, or whether we've been taking this holy year, this Lent, and our Christian life and calling in vain. Today's gospel, Jesus preaches His most powerful words of conversion in the entire three-year cycle of readings at Mass. We need to pay particular attention because He preaches these words with merciful love for us. He's opened wide a prison cell, but He wants us to cooperate, to walk out into the light. He started with current events. He spoke to the crowd about two tragedies that had captured their attention. Someone asked Him His opinion about the massacre of Galileans by Pontius Pilate in the temple, whose blood had been mixed with the blood of the animal sacrifices that day. These people had made at least a 60-mile pilgrimage from Galilee down into Jericho, the lowest place on earth, 20-mile walk uphill to Mount Zion, where the temple was in Jerusalem. They had gone up there to pray, but on that same day, unlucky for them, there were some rabble-rousers present who were protesting Pontius Pilate stealing the temple treasury in order to pay for water projects there in Jerusalem. And so as they were protesting, the bloodlusty Pilate sent out his troops to take care of the protesters. Protesters violently responded. The soldiers took out their swords, and not only did they wipe out the protesters, they killed all of these innocent Galileans who had just gone up to pray. Jesus asks, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in that way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans?" They weren't, He affirms. And then He makes a moral point. "I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." He adds another example from the falling tower, not of Pisa in Italy, but of Siloam, that place with several pools where people used to go in Jerusalem. There was a water tower there in order to pump the water into the pools, and it was shoddily constructed, and it fell down, and it crushed the people who were underneath the pool. And He asks, "Do you think that they were greater sinners than everyone else in Jerusalem?" Reiterating, "If you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." We all have stories like this. People being in the wrong place at the wrong time. People walking on the streets of Manhattan crushed by a falling grain. They lost their lives not because they were worse or better than anybody else. But Jesus is warning us. Unless we heed His call to conversion, we won't necessarily die by one of these tragic accidents. But we will die unaware. None of them were expecting to die that day. And so they went on with life as usual. And Jesus doesn't want us to go on with life as usual. He wants us to convert so that we are living fully by His mercy. So that whenever our time comes, either by a surprise or after a lengthy illness, we'll be ready, confident in His mercy, ready to go into His eternal embrace, and never caught unaware. Jesus, who called us on Ash Wednesday to repent and believe, who tells us in the verse before the gospel today, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," means it. And He wants to help us to do so thoroughly. One of the main themes of Lent, says God tells us through the prophet Ezekiel, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked man, but rather I take pleasure in his conversion so that he may live. Jesus died, in fact, so that, as the patron of this parish tells us, we wouldn't perish, but have eternal life. But in order for us to have that life, we need to cooperate with that grace and make it our real priority. Embrace it with urgency. To help make that urgent appeal more concrete, Jesus gives the parable of the fruitless fig tree. The fig tree represents your life and mine, human life. The owner of the orchard represents God the Father. The gardener represents Jesus. The owner came looking for fruit on the fig tree, and finding none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none, so cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" The point, harsh as it may initially seem to our modern ears, is clear. Some people, sadly, are wasting their lives, not bearing any fruit at all. Some people receive all types of gifts from the soil, but give nothing back. These people, Jesus seemed to indicate, are wasting the soil. Such people merit, according to the parable, to be cut down, not out of punishment, but because to some degree they're already dead. There's no spiritual life there. Because when there's spiritual vitality, fruit is born. The gardener in the parable, however, representing Jesus, says, "Sir, leave it for this year as well, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, then cut it down." This is an extraordinary intervention for anyone who knows anything about growing fig trees. Fig trees normally take 3 years to mature, and if they're not bearing fruit by the end of the third year, they're likely never, ever to do so. Likewise, if we're not bearing fruit in our Christian lives after quite some time, if we're not growing in faith, hope, and love, if we're not bearing fruit in acts of loving adoration, thanksgiving, prayer, compassionate service of others, if we're not living our faith and on fire to share it, if we're not responding to God's gift of mercy, coming to get it, being merciful to others, and bringing others to receive God's mercy, then we're like a barren fig tree, wasting our life, squandering God's graces, just like the fig tree was wasting the soil. The parable, however, has often been called the parable of the second chance. The gardener, who represents Christ, asks for time to cultivate and fertilize the ground so that it might have another shot. That's what Christ does for us, fertilizing the soil of our life with his precious blood, offering us once again his mercy, his healing, his help, his grace. Jesus goes the extra mile so that the barren life has every possible chance. But today's parable makes clear that there will be a time in which there will be no time left. There's a time when, after that fertilization, if no fruit is being born, the tree will be cut down. Out of love, he who is kind and merciful gives us this parable about the certainty of judgment and the criteria on the basis of which you and I will be judged. And he waits. He waits for our response. And now, today, right here, is the time for that response. Now is the time to bear fruit. And that must leave us with a sense of urgency. I think the greatest 20th century English writer is C.S. Lewis. A lot of the young people know him. He was the author of the Chronicles of Narnia. But he wrote some fabulous apologetic works on the Christian faith. And one of them, now being performed on Broadway, is called The Screwtape Letters, in which an uncle devil, who's a trainer, is passing on his diabolical wisdom to his nephew to try to steal people from the enemy, meaning God. He says, "The greatest tool in our arsenal is not to convince people that the enemy doesn't exist. Hey, if our watch can't put itself together, how can the world put itself together? How can a human being be put together? It's not just a collision of chemicals. The greatest tool in our arsenal to steal people from the enemy is to convince them that they always have time. They don't have to respond today. Look at how many people come to church who are in their 80s or their 90s. You've got plenty of time. Just keep doing your own thing. It doesn't so much matter. As long as later, when you're much, much, much older, did you convert? If you need to say sorry to someone, put it off till tomorrow. It doesn't have to be done today. And the devil always is able to trick people with that diabolical lie. That's what today's stories are about. The people under the Tower of Siloam didn't have more time. Those who had gone up to the temple to pray from Galilee didn't have more time. People walking on 14th Street didn't have time. And we have no idea how much time we'll have. That shouldn't frighten us, but should help us to take advantage of every day we have, to be a day of the Lord, a day in which we open ourselves up to what He wants to give us, and a day in which we respond with not just a little bit, but all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. Today's second reading, St. Paul gives us all a dramatic wake-up call. If we're being tempted, even right now, to ignore or delay Jesus' urgent and merciful appeal to repent and believe. St. Paul describes all the blessings that the Israelites had received in the desert. That God appeared to Moses and said, "I am choosing you to go set my people free." And then when Moses came, after the 10 miracles of the 10 plagues, after the journey, as St. Paul says, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and they passed through the Red Sea and all of them were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, all ate that same spiritual food. Every night God rained down quail from heaven. Every morning He rained down manna for them to eat. And when they were thirsty, He had Moses strike a rock and it started bursting forth like a geyser, which would then travel with them. They'd experienced all of these blessings for 40 years. So all of them were saints, right? All of them were grateful. All of them kept that relationship with the Lord, right? No. God was not pleased with most of them, St. Paul tells us today. For they were struck down in the desert. And he comments, these things happened as examples for us, as a warning to us, namely, that whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall. In other words, don't rest on your laurels. Don't say, "I don't really need this year of mercy because, hey, I'm no serial killer." No, don't rest secure. St. Paul, if he were here today, would say that we've received far greater miracles than the ancient Israelites did. All of us have received the protection of the cloud via manifold interior graces. All of us have passed through the Red Sea of baptism. All of us have eaten something far greater than quails and manna, the body of Christ, the true manna, come down from heaven. All of us have literally drunk Christ's blood, the living water of that rock flowing within us to eternal life, the blood poured out for the remission of sins. But all of these gifts of the Lord, like the blessings received by the Israelites, will not save us unless with faith we correspond with them. Unless we bear fruit as a result of them. Unless, for example, Jesus' giving of His body and blood transforms us and makes us willing to give our body, our blood, our sweat, our tears, our hands, and everything we are and have out of love for Him and others. That's what it means to bear fruit. Today, during this extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy, during this Lent 2016, the The Lord is giving us another gift, the gift of another day, so that we might become that type of tree that will bear much fruit, not out of fear of judgment, not so that we won't be cut down, but out of love for God, who is kind and merciful, out of love for God, who loves us and has given us so many graces that we will bear fruit. As we approach Christ today in the Eucharist, the incarnation of the God who said to Moses in today's first reading, "I am who I am." We thank Him for all His blessings, for our baptism, for the privilege to receive Him in the Eucharist, for this Jubilee, for the availability of His life-changing mercy and confession, for His great hope in us in giving us yet one more chance to bear that type of fruit that He expects and that we, in the depth of our hearts, really do want to bear. The most fruitful tree that has ever existed has been the tree of the cross. And it's here in Mass that we become truly united with Christ on the cross, so that together with Him we might bear much fruit. In this Mass from the cross, Jesus is fertilizing the soil of our souls so that we might indeed bear abundant fruit. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will save us and, by God's mercy, save others too. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Praise be Jesus Christ.